Are you recording?
I am recording.
We are recording. Yeah.
You are now listening to the Backseat Critics, the movie review podcast.
Welcome back to the Backseat Critics. My name's RJ.
My name's Andrew. This is a podcast where we review movies that you should steer clear of. And this week, we have a guest. AJ, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. I'm AJ. Some people know me as Arthur, but I also go by AJ.
Oh, my bad.
And yeah.
He's been on the show before.
Yeah, I've been here. It's actually kind of fun to come back. I think this movie was a childhood favorite of mine, so being able to get back into it is pretty exciting. I'm excited about this.
Now, this is your third time on?
Ooh, yeah.
He had
Babes in Toyland.
I forgot about Babes in Toyland.
Yo, I forgot what you guys watched when I was
Human
out.
Tornado.
You sure?
Yo, that one. Okay. Yeah. Babes in Toyland was a whole thing.
It was a good experience, though, for you, right? It changed your life.
No.
Knowing that Cincinnati, Ohio
absolutely
brings
not.
Joy to the family.
It brought more pain than joy.
No, it brought joy. You're like, man.
Human tornado brought,
when I have
brought
a,
joy.
When I have a fever dream again, I hope it's something like Babes in Toyland.
No, human tornado brought me like interesting and different things. I don't know how to describe it, but it...
I think he's trying to put that in a nice way too.
It's a family friendly movie.
No, it's
but
not.
It's definitely a family friendly movie. So make sure you
lies.
Take all your kids
all
and go watch The Human Tornado.
Don't do that.
If you've got a 6 year old and you're like, I need to throw something on to entertain them,
not
Human
the
Tornado, safe bet.
If you want to talk to your kids about race, have them watch Human Tornado.
Probably not.
It's a wonderful, wonderful showing of how things are in the future, I guess. Yeah.
That's a sad take.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are reviewing Kazam today.
Yep. We're a movie from 1996, directed by the guy that played Starsky in the original night, Starsky and Hutch.
The original, not the Ben Stiller Owen Wilson one.
Right. From the 70s.
Yes.
This one was actually produced by Paul Glaser directed. It was done by Touchstone, who I believe also put out
You said Touchstone?
Touchstone.
Oh, they put out a lot of stuff.
Space Jam 3 years later.
Wow. They touched on Space Jam with Warner Bros.
Yeah. And Warner Bros. Had their fingers in this.
In this one as well.
I believe they own one of the production companies.
I can tell you who else had their fingers in this one.
Jack?
Reebok.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Reebok. And there's one more, Pepsi.
Yeah.
Yeah, for at least one shot.
Two?
Two?
Shoot, more than that.
Oh.
Two of them at least. There's one where you grabbed out of the fridge, obviously a Pepsi can. And there's one where I believe Shaq stepped on a can and it was a Pepsi can.
Oh, interesting.
And it was bright as day, Pepsi.
I love it when they do that.
It's crazy, like when you think of like marketplace and placement, right? Like how these movies and these people and these companies buy thousands of minutes or hours or in a shot just so you can get a full-fledged commercial out of a movie. And it'd be so crazy because it's surprising that it was such a big thing still in the 90s. And Reebok was literally in almost every scene. Like from,
I think that's probably part of Shaq's contract for this movie.
Is he a Reebok guy?
He is.
Okay.
He is?
Shaq's shoes are Reebok.
Did not know.
That's why he actually...
Interesting.
I think he left Reebok actually at one point because they kept on putting out his shoes and they were, you know, as priced as everybody else's shoes. But Shaq was like, his mom got on him and was like, why are you charging kids this much for shoes?
Oh, you know, I think I heard something about that when he heard how much they were charging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his mom got on him about it and like, no, you need to make shoes for people. And that's when he saw the Shaq brand come out, or it's just Shaq. And so at first his shoes were like the Shacknosis shoes.
Shacknosis?
They're Shacknosis shoes. I actually owned a pair. They're Shacknosis Escape from LA for the shoes. That's what they were called. It's kind of cool because it had the purple and gold on it inside, like a hypnotizing thing. Mm. But they were heavy, but they were comfortable. And I've actually played one of my best games in those shoes. I recommend buying a pair if you find them out there. But actually, they're kind of heavy. Probably not. Don't buy them. They are very heavy.
All his shoes seem heavy. Feel like sailboats.
But I used to wear his shoes, actually, back in the day. Probably all throughout elementary school, Shaq was my go-to shoe. My family didn't have enough money for the Iversons or the T-Max or anything like that. And so I wanted one to wear rep basketball player. And I was like, we're Shaq. So that's what we did.
Safe bet.
Then Magic Johnson started making shoes. And I wore Magic Johnson's shoes for a little bit.
That's interesting.
Just throwing it out there. And then I remember getting my first pair of Iversons, but Iversons were out of date by that time. Also Reebok.
The answer.
And also Shaq and Iverson. President of basketball operations for Reebok now.
Really?
Yes.
Both of them.
Both of them. Presidents of basketball operations for Reebok.
That's crazy. That's super dope.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, what are you studiously looking at over there?
So I was looking at who actually makes Shaq's shoes now.
Is it just Shaq?
So I'm not Walmart. Sure.
He has a deal with Walmart.
This dude is busy.
Shaq? Yes. Yeah. He owns a lot.
He's a DJ known as DJ Diesel.
Yep. He recently popped up in a couple places.
He's heavily involved, I guess, with some education and stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
He has a PhD. He's a cop.
I was going to say the law enforcement bit is really surprising.
That makes sense when you pulled up on those kids playing basketball that got the disturbing the peace call or whatever.
2006, he part in a raid on a home in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. Insane. And 2015, he swore in as a reserve officer for Doral, Florida's police force.
Can we pause right there? Can you imagine just Shaq busting through your door? I'd be scared. I'd be peeing my pants. If Shaq just came busting through my door trying to arrest me, yes, I'm getting on all fours. I am. He can throw the cuffs on. Like, I'm not messing MMA. With that man.
Yep. He did an MMA stand.
He did wrestling. He obviously does advertising. Dude wakes up, rolls out of bed, pops out 6 commercials, and then eats breakfast.
You know, it's actually, I listened to the radio one time, interview with Shaq. His favorite snack was mayo sandwiches.
Really?
Yes. He said that he used to eat like 6 or 7 in a sitting.
That's crazy. He's involved with real estate. Yep. He loves Wheaties and Frosted Flakes. And looks like he does a lot of advertising for them as well. That's crazy. I don't see anything about the shoes, which is kind of unfortunate.
I'm a little disappointed in you for a second there. I thought you were looking at like Shaq belly button pictures over there.
I'm sorry, what? I haven't had enough to be looking at that.
No hydration. It looked like you're looking at the way you're looking at it a couple of times. I was like, oh, he's doing some Shaq belly button pictures.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, welcome on to the Backseat Critics, AJ.
Oh my gosh.
And AJ's probably going to be like, may or may not be back. Where's the door?
Do you have any like news topics that you want to hit? Because I don't really have anything.
Yes, actually.
Oh, no.
The Disneyland or the Disney version, they're about to do that live action of Snow White, which I thought was dead in the water for a second. They've actually changed it for a second there. They're going to have it just a different... The dwarfs were just going to be a different group of people, just a mixed group of people. They got clashes and reviews about that. And yet now it's turned to actual dwarfs now.
Like real people,
like they see no. They CGI'd over the people that they were going to use.
Oh, interesting. Why don't they just use like little people and cast them as dwarves?
That's what the actress
that would be kind of cool.
They didn't do that. They did CGI over them. I think because they had all that film and they just CGI'd over the people that they already had.
That's crap.
Mm-hmm. And the dwarves actually don't look dwarf size. They look pretty huge based off the picture I've seen out there. At least their faces look pretty big. To me, they look like two sizes of a normal face. This movie has caught a lot of flack. I'm surprised that they're still continuing it and still sinking money into this movie. Because at this point, they have that.
Oh, what?
You see that? Show AJ. You gotta show AJ it. Those faces are huge, aren't they?
This is like PlayStation 1 graphics.
Yeah.
Why'd they do that?
It's terrible.
That's worse than Shrek,
That's kind of insulting. There are short actors that you could use.
And to be honest, I think
Tom Cruise needs a breakthrough role.
Again.
But I mean, when you even think about, like, I don't really know any little people like that, but like there's a ton of them out there, and I think it'd be a wonderful opportunity for
Warwick
them.
Warwick Davis is still active. Peter Dinklage is out there and living it. Like, there's two big actors right there who are shorter folks. Like,
yeah.
Why not choose from the community of actors that you have?
What's the one from Jingle All the Way? Him? He's a, you know what I'm talking about? He plays the elf in Jingle All the Way. I'm gonna look him up.
Is that Warwick?
No, it's not Warwick. Not Warwick. He's actually he was very popular in the 90s. He played like Rumpelstiltskin and Sabrina. No. Wait, Vern's dead, I believe.
Is that the guy from Bad Santa?
Yes.
I know who you're talking about. I can't place a face.
I'm gonna find him.
Anyways, that's crap. That they're doing that.
Actually, Vern is in that movie. Danny Woodburn. Danny Woodburn.
Don't know who that is.
But. He is in. He's actually still making out movies. He's in the new Ninja Turtles.
Really
interesting. Watchmen. Death to Smoochie, The Flintstones, Viva Las Vegas.
Hey, love death to Smoochie.
Employee of the Month. So he's been in some things. I'd say why are we hitting him up?
Just finding, I don't know. See why we just don't find avenues to really like use people's talents, you know?
Or the Snow White and the Huntsman, what they did back in the days that they used, They CGI'd over people's faces. They used actors and they CGI'd over people's faces.
See, that's still kind of crap.
But it worked.
Did it?
It actually worked. Snow White and the Huntsman was the first one. The first one was decent. Don't watch the second one. It's a waste of your time. It's a future episode of this podcast.
Oh, no.
To say what it is.
Oh, no. Can I opt out of that episode?
100% you can.
Okay.
That's one of those episodes when we've ran out of material, and you know but we've ran out of material because we're reviewing that movie then.
That movie?
Yeah. Okay.
That's funny.
So AJ.
Yes, sir.
You're the guest. Do you want to do the 1 minute summary?
Oh Jesus. I guess.
All right. let me pull up a little clock here. Oops, that's not how I do it. That is not. Hold on. That's not how I do it either. All right, AJ, go for it.
So it starts out with a young boy who is not doing school well. It's not doing life well. And he runs away. Well, he's always in trouble with these group of like, they seem like high school boys. He ends up running into a machine, a jukebox. In the process of him running into this jukebox, not realizing that it was actually a genie box. And
a genie box.
And so he ends up...
You got 20 seconds.
Oh, Jesus.
He ends up activating a genie, figuring out who his dad is, and everything comes happy. 10. Go lucky. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm.
That's the movie. Brought to you by AJ.
Which is fine, because can we really do topics on this?
I don't think you can really do topics in this movie. There's not enough characters. I don't think there's enough sets. You can do scenes.
We can do scenes. That's about it. We can do characters.
You can do what moments?
Jesus.
That's it. Scenes and what moments. You can't do anything else. So we can just talk about the movie.
Okay. Talk about the movie.
Yeah.
Talk about the junk food that falls from the sky and plays Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Which is crazy. I didn't even realize that that was like a big thing, but it really reminded me of that movie. Like,
what was the candy bar, Big Boy or something like that in there that I caught?
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, I didn't catch it either.
That was the only candy bar like that actually showed like a logo. Everything else was like fries.
So many pancakes.
No, I think that's a stack of pizza. I think we are wrong. Because when you looked at it a little later, you saw the toppings on it.
I thought this was maple syrup.
My thing was like, those burritos looked disgusting.
Yes.
Let's just say the food in this movie looks disgusting.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it just in general.
Bad. And I was like, you could have made this look a little bit better. Like, it looked gross.
This movie cost us something like $24-25 million.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, let me double check that. But yeah.
They must have hired a whole bunch of cooks from elementary schools to cook those foods.
To watch them fall and hit the ground? Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. So 20 million. They got 18.9 million in box office.
Oh, wow.
So not a huge flop.
Mm-mm.
Not a success, but you know, enough to afford better looking food.
I think my family, we caught this on one of those movie nights that ABC does or something like that, where they like,
I don't think I've ever seen this before.
Really?
Honestly, yeah.
Really?
Mm.
This was a childhood favorite for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what was your first experience with it?
I think the biggest thing for me was like really seeing Shaq in the movie. I think it kind of changed. The perspective of like Shaq as a whole, but then also just like the comedy relief of it, you know, like it is a pure comedy. It's supposed to be comedically that. And I think they did a good job of that. Didn't make it too serious.
A little bit of a dramedy. Not as much, but a little bit of a dramedy.
A little bit.
Which I think is, you know, during that time of the early 90s, it was all about fun and all of that. And I think it kind of encapsulated that. So
it definitely tells like a simpler story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do you think the message is at the end of this story?
Always have a safari vest on because life will turn out okay. You will be prepared.
I'm not quite sure.
Because I feel like there's a message to it.
I felt like that too, but like I couldn't quite nail it down.
Everybody deserves a second chance.
You could say that.
You could say that.
Yeah.
But then the dad gets arrested.
Or it's never too late for a second chance.
But I also think like even though he got arrested, he was trying to show his son something different in the end, which I think he did.
Be accountable as a parent.
See, I think that would have been the message if like was it Max like try to get away with like doing mischievous stuff with his wishes.
Okay. He and then like did at one point, but not really.
I mean, his wishes were for like food and the tape.
And the tape for was a second chance for his dad.
Yeah. So we didn't really have that, but like that would have been a decent the one Shaq movie I have seen is Steel. I was trying to remember what
the
it was.
The superhero one?
Yeah.
Yep. I remember when I ran across that. I was like, oh, Shaq on the TV. Oh, he's making an outfit.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few lines in that movie that I was like, I can tell Shaq was struggling to do these lines.
Like at the end?
Yeah, he had like a saying that he did. He said, and I don't know what language
it's like
it was.
Arabic or something like that.
That's okay. That's what I thought it was. But it just, Oh my goodness, you can tell he was struggling with that.
Oof, yeah.
It was funny.
There were times in like the action scenes where he was just rhyming away or he was giving one-liners and you could tell it was dubbed in afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a living, breathing Dr. Seuss book in this movie.
Yeah.
Hey, Rudy Ray Moore.
I thoroughly enjoy this movie.
Yeah, me too.
I enjoy just the comedic aspects of it. Like what AJ said, the comedy, even the bad guy is comedic with his terrible food in this movie. I'm not going to get rid of that. His food is disgusting.
All of the food is disgusting. Even the French toast that was like flying into their mouths earlier, that just looked like plain bread.
That was probably the best thing in this movie was the plain bread. That was supposed to be chocolate, peanut butter, French toast, or something like that.
Chocolate.
That's what she said. I saw a dusting of that maybe on those pieces of bread.
Ew.
But
ew.
Oh my goodness.
That bad guy was eating goat's eyes.
No, like
he said goat eyes.
Chocolate, peanut butter, French toast.
Well, no, I'm talking about the bad guy and the goat
no,
eyes.
No, I'm still not over that. That French toast. That's disgusting.
It didn't show any chocolate or peanut butter on it.
It's disgusting.
It just looked like a piece of toast. That Shaq makes into like flies around.
Other than Shaq, what are you guys' like favorite like characters?
I don't think
I feel like we're all going to go for Shaq if we were to do characters here.
There's really no favorite characters in this movie that you can watch. I mean, the kid you can't really root for him. I feel like the dad maybe.
The brat?
I think dad.
No, the brat.
You like the brat? No, actually, yeah, I'm going to root for the stepdad.
Yeah, I was going to say the stepdad is like, the guy's putting in effort. He's being a genuine, like, good guy. He's like, seeing what's up with his son and seeing like, hey, do you need anything? He's maybe to understand like, hey, the son needs space right now, but.
He's and the kid's shutting him down.
Yeah.
I like the brat. She's the artist, and the dad, the real dad. Okay. He goes introduce. He's like introducing everybody, walking around the room. He's like, but you know who this is, and doesn't even introduce her. And she's like, yo, and just like takes the initiative just to kind of introduce herself. And it's like, it's funny because it's like. He didn't even introduce who she is in a facet, but you never know. I wasn't expecting that kid to maybe know who she was. Like I didn't expect him to know. So it was just kind of funny. But yeah.
I think one thing I appreciate about this movie is the fact that the ex-husband or the dad in this doesn't get back with the mom. Cause I feel like during this time we're at a point where like, the new dad is always the bad guy and the old dad is always the good guy and old dad and mom always end up back together. They didn't have that.
Kind of a fresh take.
And like old dad had kind of a redemption arc there at the end where he kind of like took responsibility for his actions, but like, I don't know, in comparison to Mrs. Doubtfire, where Robin Williams plays a really crappy dad, and Pierce Brosnan is fine. Pierce Brosnan is played off as the bad guy in that. Robin Williams is played off as a hero. Old dad gets back with mom.
No, that's not how that movie ends.
Is it?
No.
Oh man, I need to not rewatch that.
That was just Robin Williams was just fighting for visitation rights for his kids. He never was trying to get back together
but
with his
still,
ex-wife. He
still, you should not have visitation rights to your kid if you're doing stuff like that.
Like what?
I don't know. Cross-dressing as anyone or disguising yourself as anyone else.
That's so he could see his kids.
To get into your.
Well, this is
your ex-wife's house under false pretenses.
So we can see his kids.
And then you basically just borderline assault the new husband. Like that's
when did he assault the husband?
Was it the grape or something like some fruit or something at the bar towards the end? They were at the pool.
Yeah, it's like partway in the middle of the movie where he's throwing fruit at him.
You doing okay, AJ?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're sleepy.
No, I haven't seen Miss Doubtfire in a long time, and I thought we were talking about Shazam. So
no, we are.
Shazam. We can talk about Shazam, too, you know?
Shazam. So, oh.
What do you want to talk about with Shazam?
Come on, man. Spit your game. Talk your spit. No, I just... Like, this movie, to me, I think Shaq is really young, so it was pretty interesting seeing a young Shaq.
When was this film again? 1996?
Yeah.
Is this in between... I think that's the summer where he goes to L.A., I remember right.
Yep.
Where he leaves Orlando Magic and he goes to L.A., his rookie contract ends up and he leaves him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Goes to the Lakers.
But I also think, like, it was good because you got to see, like, the diversity Shaq brings. From the music piece to
acting,
which was terrible, but
got a lot of charisma, which carries him a long ways with this.
Compared to other NBA players, where do you rank him as far as acting within them for NBA players?
Honestly,
we've seen a lot of NBA players in movies at this point now.
Better than Jordan?
Oh, absolutely.
I would put him probably second
behind.
Who?
Bobin.
Who?
Bobin.
Who?
He's in John Wick 3 as a bad guy. He's a tall guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in more movies. He wants to be in more movies. He's a center. I don't know who he plays for now. He gets traded, but he's an active NBA player. He's about 7'2 or something like that. 7'2, 7'3. George Marison, too, actually played a good character as well in My Favorite Giant.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be in my number one, but
okay, yeah, and Bruce Lee,
an airplane,
okay, that too.
Full House. It's interesting to see Shaq like actually, like kind of show what he can do on screen.
Yeah,
he's a top five NBA actor.
We can at least do
absolutely.
We can at least do like what scenes, like what moments. And this like moments that you will just kind of like scratch your head and you're like, what?
AJ, what you got for your number one what moment in this movie?
In the beginning, he falls through like 12 floors. Well, it's really only like four, but
and lands on a bunch of cardboard and
lands
newspaper.
On a bunch of freaking cardboard and newspaper. And I'm like, lives. Bro, this kid would have been dead. What do you mean? And like falling through those floors, it was like he broke through like perfectly carved out holes and, you know, one or two pieces of wood holding this floor together. And I'm just like, oh my God, you guys could have made this a little bit better. Like,
yeah,
but it was pretty interesting. It landed, it seemed like he landed like on an old mattress or something with like,
mm-hmm.
Like,
and they just see like newspapers and stuff on top.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. But yeah, that's my first what moment. What about you, RJ?
My number one's gonna be the food. Claudia Jensen meatballs. I guess that's a genie, and he said from here to the sky. That fast food did not make it from there to the sky. I'll tell you that. That probably made it about three feet deep, 4 feet deep.
Do you think that they just left that food there, or
that is what happened? The cleanup crew probably hated the staff for that point.
That was also weird to me too, because they had the food fall from the sky. They were there for like 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
And then
did he eat anything? I don't think they ate anything.
What's the name? Ate like a 100-gram bar. He like.
Yeah, he just ate the candy bar and was like, hey, let's go.
But he only took a bite. Bar. He only took a bite of it. He didn't really like eat it.
Andrew, what you guys, your number one?
So actually right before that is all of the ADR dialogue during the bike scene where like Shaq is like, what? Oh no. As he's riding the bike down a slight incline.
He like picks up the bike. I think he couldn't ride it up the hill.
He basically picks it up and just walks it up. Picks it up and starts running.
That whole bit was just like, oh my God. Kind of love it.
AJ, what you got number two?
My number two is after he gets beat up and goes home, mom's like, what happened to you? And he's like, just leave me alone. There wasn't a scratch on his face. Like,
no,
there was no scratch, no nothing. I think he might have had like a little bit of a red mark, but I'm like, huh?
You just got the crap kicked out of you.
You got the crap kicked out of you, and there's no marks of it on your body at all. Like, but mom is tripping like there was, and I'm just like, okay, this don't make no sense.
Mom was tripping about him having greasy hair, and she's like, why don't you look like this? And shows him a picture of him at 5 with a mullet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what? You're not okay with your kid growing up?
He's like, I hate that picture.
My number two is actually going to be the scene where the dad puts a, like picks him up after school, like grabs him, takes him to his car. You're telling me that no other adult besides the mom of the kids saw this going on, where just some random dude that's been out of this kid's life for all the school life, like no teacher, nobody in the 90s saw this kid being grabbed, put into the car with his bike.
Like any sort of like stranger danger kind of thing.
You don't see the mom yelling at, saying, I'm going to call the cops or anything. Nobody, no teacher of that school staff is just like, nope. I get it's like kind of an inner city school, but you're saying that nobody's going to call the cops on that?
That's crazy. I didn't even think about that. He just took him off his bike, put the bike in the car and everything. Just like, no, no. You're just going to come with me.
That was like a weirdly aggressive scene, like watching that as an adult. Like seeing a kid being put into a car by an adult and they're not willing.
He kind of accepted it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the mom was like, you need to get out, she is like, leave me alone.
He had a lot of those temper tantrum things.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
I don't want to go to school today. I don't think he ever went to school.
He was
a couple times. Shaq shot him in school once.
Yeah, no, I think AJ's right. Like, he shows up with his hair all blown up once when Shaq teleported him. And then another time to like walk up the stairs, get bullied, and then asked by his friend, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then he runs home.
He was in the school, but he was never like partaking in class for that. There's only two times that you see him in class, which is in the beginning, and then the other time when Shaq, when she was doing something for the AV, grabbing some sort of AV equipment. And then the second one was with Shaq, where he gets blown up and put into class.
Put into class, yeah.
Oh man, yeah, that kid never went to school, and for him to be 12 and hanging out with high school students, well, getting beat up by high school students, they seem like high school students, that was weird too.
Yeah,
that was like really, because he like seen them at the concert and I'm like, these kids, and what, some of them were driving? That I think that's
that was like wild.
My third scene, but it's like they were really keeping up with him on a bike, and I'm like,
uh-huh.
I was like, Andrew's number two, don't we?
Yeah, we're good though. I was gonna say my number two is basically my number one of this kid's got an indoor bike track in a building. Like, where is this being filmed that there's an abandoned building that you can just set up a bike track at? Ride around
at an abandoned school.
Was it abandoned school?
No, it's probably an after-hours school or something. Like, they filmed this after hours, probably.
Again, there's like so many scenes in this that gave me like Foot Clan hideout vibes.
Yeah, you're expecting the Ninja Turtles to pop up anytime now and save the day in this movie.
Yeah.
You felt it. You're like, where's Raph? Where's Donnie? No, Michelangelo's right around the corner. I know it.
RJ, don't lie. No one's asking for Raph.
Yeah, you're right. Where's Leo?
Dang.
No.
Somebody's asking for Leo. No. You know, if Leo comes to save you, that's probably the best person.
Yeah, the only good that Leo's doing is the swords.
He's leading the others. If Leo's there, you know the others are right around the corner.
Except for Raph.
But you know the other two are right around the corner, which is perfectly fine. I'd rather have the three compared to just Raph.
AJ, I think you touched on your number three, but did you have another scene that kind of made you go, what?
Yeah, the concert scene. The
where he starts shooting gold?
No. That was funny though. But it was just him trying to hide behind the Shaq was hiding behind the little stick. And he was like, and he got like called out to perform. And he's like hiding behind a stick. And you're like, bro, like, you hide, you can't hide nothing behind that stick. Like,
dude's massive.
Like, you're not hiding anything behind that stick. But it was also like, then he starts rapping. He just like starts rapping out of the blue. And then all the concert is focused on him. And I'm just like, what the hell?
That's some of the parts I loved about this movie was like, Shaq is enormous. And yet the movie pretends he's like a normal sized guy or just around Max's age. Like the point where he like comes out and he's like, hey, I'm Max's tutor. But he's like, he's 30 years old and he just came out of your son's bedroom. And you're like, yeah, that's cool. Let me make you breakfast.
Oh, he's in his 20s in this movie.
Oh, is he in his 20s?
Mm-hmm. Shaq's in his 20s in this movie.
Oh.
Because you think about it, he went into the NBA in 1992, spent 3 years at LSU. So that probably puts him at, what, 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
This comes out in 1996. So he's probably 26, 27 in this movie.
Oh, wow.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang. Young Shaq.
My number three scene is actually going to be... It kind of plays into one or the other. There's two parts to this, two-parter. First one, the firefighter, the stepdad, at the very end of the movie, was really up for just leaving his job to go home. There's an active fire.
He's like, yeah, no, I'm done.
He's about to dip. Second part of this is that as they're walking away, this hot chocolate hits on the ground. The kid's like, man, I really wish that I had some hot chocolate. And these parents, they allow him to pick up the hot chocolate, start drinking it. I'm sorry, my kid starts picking up street cocoa. I'm slapping that right out of his hand saying, no, no street cocoa for you, sir.
Yeah. I'm really split on my number three. I already brought up the fact that he was a tutor. Came out of Max's bedroom and the mom's like, hey, let me make you breakfast. And we're like, whoa. In retrospect, that looks bad.
I mean, not the fact where Shaq was like sleeping next to
that. That's yes. What I, and he like
also
palms his face with his hand to wake him up as he's like fake snoring.
He looked like he was in the spooning position at one point too.
Yeah, no, for real. And then he's like three times bigger than that bed. So it was like super, super interesting. And then after that, right? Max is talking about how bad he stinks and he just
showers. Like, you smell like a hippopotamus. He just showers naked basically.
Right in front of him with the shower thing that only covered
his private regions.
Literally.
Yeah.
I'm like, feet were open, chest was out, only his private regions open or closed off. And I'm like, wait, what? Like,
also, did you guys see that? It looked like his nails were painted. His like toenails.
I didn't see that.
No, I didn't catch that either. I actually love the swearing in this movie. Like little fart.
Oh, little yeah. Fart.
Yep.
But I think my actual number three is, as I forget it. It's going to be the fact that for 90% of the movie, the boombox is nowhere to be seen.
Oh, my God.
And then the bad guy picks it up and then all of a sudden, it's like, oh no.
I disagree with that.
Where's the boombox?
Shaq has it on him quite often.
Really?
Quite often he has it on. Besides the
disagree.
Scenes.
Disagree.
In the room and the scenes inside the kid's home.
No, disagree.
He has on it on him most of the time.
He has it some of the time.
I'd say about
30%. 30.
No,
30.
You need to go back and rewatch that movie, sir.
No, he has it a lot.
Does he?
Yes. It's on his hip. Or you see the strap for it at least a lot.
He's carrying it like a hip bag or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Oh.
It's on him quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Andrew's just like looks like a deer.
We're
going
to go back to my original... Tutor coming out of your kid's bedroom. Let me make you dinner. That's going to be my number three. Let's ignore that second bit. All right. Any final thoughts for this movie?
Oh, we're on final thoughts already? Wow. Okay.
Well, you have any other points that you want to hit on?
What would you do if you had a genie?
Ooh, that's a good one. Good three wishes. What would you do if I had three wishes? If I had a genie. That's a good one.
Three wishes for a genie.
You got top three wishes. There we go. Top three wishes for a genie.
RJ? AJ? Either of you guys want to go first?
You go first. I asked you.
Oh, dang. Ooh. So number one, kind of personal, but I'm going to go with, I wish I could see color.
Interesting. Okay.
It'd be kind of nice.
That's a good one.
I don't need this red green blind colorblind stuff. It's stupid. Let's get rid of that. AJ, what would you be your number one wish?
Number one, to be able to fly.
Really?
Yeah. I think I drive too much. I need an alternative to driving.
Okay.
Yeah, so being able to fly.
Now, would you still make that wish? Because genies habitually, just their stories and backgrounds, they know how to make things, mess things up. Hmm. So, for instance, they might give Andrew the ability to see color a little bit more, but maybe they make it so where his yellows are purple or something along those lines. Oh. Now, let's say you get the ability to fly, but you can only fly 5-10 miles per hour. Would you still do that?
That's deep.
That's actually a good question.
I think I would, because I'd still be able to get places faster than driving.
Truth.
And then also, like, I just drive too much, man. Like, I don't know how else to fix it. I'd rather just, like, get there in my own time.
Also, yeah, just imagine just, like, floating through the air 5-10 miles an hour, just chilling out. That's, yeah, no, I get it.
What about you, RJ?
I would wish for the ability to never miss a basket and shoot in basketball.
Wow.
You.
That's pretty direct.
That you need that.
Why would I? That'd be a great one. What a whole great jackal time.
Oh, divorce?
They could mess it up. You'd hit the basket, but it would be the opposite basket you were shooting for. So you hit the backboard and it bounces all the way across the court, gets the other team a point.
But I would never miss.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting.
Would that be mine?
I would hate to play with you.
I'd never miss a basket in my own basket. Damn. In my team's basket.
And you would never be invited to play anywhere.
Nope, because I'd be on fire.
Andrew, what's your second one?
The flying's a good one. Basketball, I don't.
Get out of this guy.
I don't play that. The second chances is nice. I don't know. I think it'd be like a good point where it'd be like, I wish I could like undo one moment. I don't have necessarily one moment that would undo.
Just the ability to undo a moment.
Yeah. And just kind of like undo a mistake.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
That's kind of the route I would go.
Oh man, number two was hard. I wish, I don't know. Oh, that's tough. I wish to be able to be like, to be able to fly, and I don't know. You got to come back to me for my second one. What about you?
I wish that I had the ability. Actually, no. I wish to never lose in fantasy basketball or football.
That's so specific.
I wish to always win in fantasy sports.
Oh my gosh.
I'm gonna make a lot of money.
I think I wish to.
Bet you two take Rob wishes that he could do that.
Man,
do stuff on one take.
What do I wish? Jesus, not helping right now. I wish that I can buy whatever I want.
Just whenever.
You always had the funds. always had the funds, always had the resources. I can just buy whatever I want all the time, anytime, no questions asked.
You know, you could have
but
that.
But my bank account always said zero.
So it just always goes.
It just always goes.
I kind of dig that.
So you swipe the card and yep, there it goes.
Mm-hmm. So people are like, wait, how are you able to buy that? Your bank account says zero. I don't know. It just always goes.
That way they can't ask you for money, so you can show them.
Okay. So to kind of circle back, you mentioned the genie would mess it up some way.
Yeah.
Tax audits every single year.
How'd you get that?
It's all coming back, baby.
You buy a $750,000 house, tax audit.
Yep.
That's what hilarious. You got for number
man, that's actually a good one.
Number three.
That's
wish.
Actually a really good one. I was gonna wish for something really simple like a car, but damn, that's a good pick. Yeah. I don't know. Why don't you go first, RJ?
You got a third one, AJ?
So I can buy anything I want. I can fly. And I wish that birds can speak.
Nope.
So you wish you can pull a
nope.
Dr. Doolittle.
Nope.
No,
nope.
No, 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 no.
Just
nope.
birds.
Nope. Just birds.
Okay. So why like a parrot? Birds?
Like a parrot or a cockatoo or whatever. They just talk like regular humans.
Okay.
They don't. You don't have no filter. They just speak.
Why birds?
I don't know.
He just wants the bird.
I think because birds see all. I don't know. They kind of see everything.
I feel like crows would be the dirtiest group out of the bunch.
Oh, crows remember faces.
Man, they probably tell all the secrets.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. So Suzanne, yeah. She just had 4 or 5 people in her house last night. and only 3 people left. We get all the dirt from the crows.
I think my third and final wish would be that I have the greatest pizza recipe in my head and I was able to produce this pizza on a whim.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Why so you never miss a shot?
Nope.
You always win fantasy basketball.
This sounds like my dream life, right? and
you can cook pizza.
On a dime. Yep. And not even just pizza. The best pizza.
Honestly, so far, if I'm going to rank our wishes...
I'm number one.
AJ's number one. I'm number two because I'm biased. RJ, no offense.
I have the greatest wishes of all time.
You have the most interesting wishes.
They're very specific. You know what you want.
I know the genies are going to mess with me. I don't feel like they can really mess with me if I'm going to make it into my own basket at a every time when I shoot. I don't think that they're going to mess with me if I'm going to win fantasy at all times.
Okay.
And I don't think they're going to mess with me with the knowledge and to make a pizza whenever I want to and make it the best pizza. I don't think, how can you mess those up? Now, there's probably going to be a loophole in there somewhere because it's a genie.
And they are smarter than me. The only hoops you make are in your own basket.
And I never miss.
And you never miss. You only win fantasy.
Oh, always win in fantasy.
But only when you're not making any money off of it.
Nope. I never said that. Just always,
Win that, fantasy. That's how they're going to mess it up?
Nope. Always win fantasy.
And that pizza, that best pizza ever, is when no one is around.
That's okay, because I get to fill my stomach. So nobody's around.
Or you're sick the day after.
That could be true. That I could, they could give me an allergy of some sort to one of the ingredients to that pizza.
Oh my exactly. gosh!
But you know what? It's gonna be the best pizza ever.
I mean, AJ's. It's like, okay, you're going 5 miles an hour. You get tax audits every year. Like, that's no biggie.
Actually, no way. I'll actually go. I'm gonna take yours back one more step, Andrew. Here at the pizza theory. So far, that's the only one that I feel like that could lose. I feel like I could have that best pizza, but I would choke on it. They'd have me choke and die.
at least have happy memories, right? But
right before. Having the best pizza of all time. And the recipe was in my head, but too bad I died with it.
AJ, you got a number three?
Well, you said that.
I already said my
three. You had the bird.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, bird's talking.
Come on, man. Andrew, do you have a number three, sir?
I do. I'm going to go with the superpower route that AJ was going. I was thinking kind of invincibility. Not invincibility. Invisibility for a bit.
You know what the invisibility is going to turn out to be?
But no, I don't want to end up on any lists.
So he... And he becomes invisible, but when he comes back, he's naked.
Is it Mystery Man? Have you ever seen Mystery Man where he's got to turn around?
That's not the route I'm going.
He only turns invisible when nobody's looking. And then when somebody's looking, he's naked again. There you go.
That's not the route I'm going. I'm going with the Jedi mind trick. I want the ability to...
Why don't you just have
this? Is going to sound bad, but I want the ability to influence people to do whatever I want.
So you just took back the invisibility.
Yeah.
To get Jedi mind trick.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I was originally thinking invisibility would be the way to go, but I don't want that. I want to wave my hand and be like, hey, drive me to the airport. Hey.
No,
help me move the apartment.
I better be careful with what I drink tonight around this man, because he might be changing some things up in this episode very quickly.
I think I like ours better for him. When you want to go invisible, you go invisible.
You just turn naked.
When you nobody try and come nobody back,
can see you.
I mean, y'all see me naked. It's fine.
No.
awkward.
That's funny.
Final thoughts.
We've on the movie pinnacle now. Final thoughts on the movie. AJ, go for it.
Ultimately, I think it's a good movie all around. Definitely a kid movie. Definitely a movie that you can really like enjoy. And it has like. It has a little bit of everything in it. Like it has some action and some comedy and some love story and also like
some drama.
It taps into some drama. So it kind of has a little bit of everything in it. And I think that's what also makes it kind of a good movie. And it's not that long. I think it was what, hour and 20 minutes? Something like that.
Something like that. It's pretty tight.
So it was like, pretty short, and they did it pretty quick, but it was, I think it overall it was good to me.
Out of 10, 1 through 10, what would you rank it?
I would say 7.5, 8.
Okay. If you were to like show it to a kid, would you recommend it to kids, or what kind of age group would you show it to?
I mean, ultimately, I think you can show it to anybody. There was no cussing. There's no like real hurt, violence, blood type situation.
Kid gets pushed off a ledge. I think that's probably the worst.
Yeah, I think that's really about it.
Kid gets abducted by his own dad. It's fine.
I mean, there was like the dad like beating up that dude.
I guess Shaq at the end kind of possibly killed some guys. I don't know. He threw some guy in an electrical box. I mean, I don't know.
But I think there's like a few parts that, I mean, aren't really bad, I would say, but there's nothing like modern PG-13 movies in that movie at all. If I were to rate it like that today, it would be a PG movie.
Yeah. RJ.
I actually enjoy this movie. I enjoy just Shaq in it and the goofiness out of him as a kid. It's definitely not one of my favorite movies as a kid, but it's definitely one that I would put on the TV and enjoy myself watching it. There's some other movies, but I would say that I'd probably rate it at a 7. I do agree with AJ here that you can watch, you can let your kid just watch it at any time and you're probably safe. The swearing is kind of bleeped out with like little fart instead of little, you know.
So, oh, yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, as a kid, if some little kid came up to me and said, you're a little fart, I would probably laugh. So I think any adult would at that point, depending on how mad the adult is at that kid at that point. So I would Yeah, if I had a kid and they came up to me and they're mad at me and said, you know, you're just being a little fart, Dad, I'd be like, I'd laugh and be like, all right, now we're going to put you in the room, a little fart. the other way.
I gotcha.
Anyways, but, you know, I think a kid can watch this. I'd probably start ranging it probably at the age of 5 or 6. I do think the bad guy can be a little creepy at times.
I think the only part that was really creepy was the eyeball piece.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think so, that was...
Dude. Well, I think there's maybe one other bit where he's kind of like... He's being a little pervy with the lady, but that's...
They kind of gave the Megra vibes with her in the movie.
I'm going to throw this out there. This is my first time watching it. I'm going to give it like a 6 out of 10. It's fun. It's fun. The story is very simple. I do appreciate that they didn't like keep the movie going too long and they didn't overstuff it with like, hey, don't talk to strangers or like some overdone message like that. And they were just like telling its story and getting out. I think if your kid is old enough to watch Pixar movies, they're old enough to watch this. I think that's kind of the age range. Like Pixar has kind of adult themes or like kind of adult humor that like adults are going to get, but the kids aren't. If they're old enough to watch that, they're old enough to watch this. That's it.
But I think during that time period, it was a little different than kind of us. Like 100%. Now. So like that whole thought of, you know, keeping your child safe through this situation or whatever, that's not really talked about. Like, because your neighbors were helping out with kids or whatever, and the way people were acting when it comes to even a kid being missing, like mom was sitting on the couch reading a book and she's worried sick of this kid not coming home all night. But it's like,
What? Let's rewind really quick. Why didn't the mom ever call the cops for that?
Her husband's, her fiance is a firefighter.
Yeah, why isn't she calling the cops? Like, where is my kid? Anyways, okay, continue with that thought. I'm sorry.
No. But I just, it's a different time. I think that's why you don't get that same kind of feeling in need during that time period. So.
Yeah. And it takes place in New York. They build kids a little differently and tougher.
Was it New York? I was about to ask, like, where does this actually take place?
Probably New York. That seems like a New York style to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, it did.
New it York did. Vibes. It seems like there's a lot of people walking on the streets and those sorts of things in that. So I'd say New York probably. All right.
AJ, where can they find you outside of here?
Oh man, thanks for listening. You can find me on social media at Chef Boyar Dixon. You can also find me on back. No, ooh, wrong one. Play No Games podcast.
Lookhere.fry.
Lookhere.fry. You can hear the smooth sounds of me.
And the screeching of two take Bob.
And a few other people. Of course, and Cartier Bob. But yeah, so if you want to follow us, make sure you do that. Listen there. Great podcast too as well, just like this one. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming on. You, if you want to find us, I mean, you know where to find us. Google exists. You can Google Backseat Critics. That's, hey, RJ's laughing.
It's great. I can't stare down by AJ.
But yeah, you know, you're listening to us, so you found us. Congrats. You can keep listening if you want. See you next time.
We out. Peace.